As I write this, we don't know for certain what happened to Natasha Richardson at the ski resort in Canada, or precisely what caused her epidural hematoma. But there seems to be agreement that she fell during a ski lesson on an easy hill, one of the so-called bunny hills. Skiing, simply put, can be dangerous. And usually when one undertakes a dangerous thing, one has assumed the risk of injury springing from that dangerous thing. A federal court in Missouri, for example, decided that a 16-year-old inexperienced skier who fell on the slopes and suffered brain damage couldn't successfully sue the ski resort for her injuries. If the resort had been negligent in some way, the court reasoned, then there might be liability because any risk created by the resort's negligent act would not be a risk inherent in the sport itself. But here, the court explained, the fact that the teenager was thrown 5 feet into the air after hitting some sort of bump was part of the skiing bargain. Experts had testified during the trial about a certain unpredictability in skiing, and that inherent risks in the sport include losing control, falling, colliding with objects and other skiers, encountering variations in snow surface terrain, variable weather conditions, and low visibility. Those sorts of dangers are so obvious, they say, that no resort owner should be forced to pay should someone be injured because of them. Those dangers are even part of the statutes in some states. Utah, for one, suggests that all skiers must be aware of impediments like bare spots, forest growth, rocks, stumps, stream beds, cliffs, trees, and other objects, in addition to more general dangers. The same risk assumption holds true even when the skier is on the slopes for the very first time. A woman in Maine who fell on a bunny hill and who'd signed a contract containing language that she recognized that skiing has an inherent danger didn't prevail in her lawsuit. She'd argued that because she was such a novice, she relied more on statements made by her instructor, assurances like there's nothing to worry about and that nothing bad would happen, even though the instructor knew at the time that there'd been a large number of injuries during the beginner's class. The court found that the instructor's words were simply statements of opinion and didn't negate the contract. Any other decision, the court wrote, would seem to imply that ski resorts had the duty to warn all beginning skiers of every possible type of injury. This is not to say that no one has ever sued a ski resort successfully. A beginning skier in Utah could sue because she argued that the contract she'd signed wasn't as clear as the law required, and that she'd been incorrectly advised that her old ski boots would be compatible with new bindings. We don't know for sure what happened to Natasha Richardson, and what happened after her fall regarding medical treatment may be more relevant than the fall itself. But the Washington Post reported that during last year's ski season, 53 people were killed while skiing or snowboarding in the U.S., and about 10,000 more suffered some sort of head injury. With those sorts of numbers, it's clear why the law is not generally amenable to skiing-related lawsuits. I'm Amy Guida.